Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Remember, owning your home is that much easier and that much sweeter with a Home Sweet Home plan from the Bank of St. Lucia. This afternoon, I'm joined with none other than Miss Lisa Jarvis and, of course, Kim from Irie Kids, Inc. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Khalid. How are you?
I am fine, you know. I'm doing okay. Right, thank you so much for asking. So, this afternoon, you guys are on Youth Unplugged, and I'm guessing it's a duo today. It's two of you, right?
Yes, it's just the two of us.
Okay. All right. So, Lisa and, of course, Kim, I want you to break down for me, you know, a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into Irie Kids. So, whoever wants to go first, go right ahead.
Okay. This is Lisa, and I've always had a really vivid imagination. I've designed toys for companies like Hasbro and Educational Insights for many years.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a good time. But some of my creations were an edible aquarium, which was really cool. It had blue gel that you just simply had to add water to. And because it contained sea moss, it would solidify.
Okay.
And so you would add the powder and then the water. And then we had candy fish that kids could actually eat, and you would place them at different levels in the aquarium according to where they lived in the ocean. So it was really cool because also at night it had a little light that turned on, so it would glow in the dark, and it actually lasted up to a week before the kids would have to eat it and it would start to disintegrate.
Uh-huh.
But that was one of my toy and game designs that I had done a few years back. I also created a kitten catch game for preschoolers. Kids would collect cards with pictures of things like cat toys, food bowls, things you need to care for a pet. And once you collected all six cards, the child would get to choose from a litter of kittens, which were little toy kittens. And if you were the first one to complete the cards, you got pick of the litter. So that was one of the other games that I created. But the games were educational and very much similar to our current programs that we have for Irie Kids, where we try and engage children in a learning atmosphere, but make it fun for them. So I think that's how I developed into going from developing toys into funding
kids.
A charity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually very interested and very eager to see that edible aquarium. That's something I actually don't mind seeing. That one stuck with me for a little while.
Yeah, I'll send you one. There's still a few out there. So this was quite a few, I'd say about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it was released through their, the Easy Bake Oven.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you didn't actually need the Easy Bake Oven for it, but it was released with the Easy Bake Oven logo.
Okay, I see. Okay, so that's Kim in a nutshell. Lisa, you're up next.
No, that was Lisa.
That's Lisa, my bad. Kim. My bad.
Okay, I'm Kim William, Executive Director of Irie Kids, Inc.
Okay.
I have always worked in the hospitality industry. Taking care of people and making them feel welcome has always been my passion. I love meeting people's needs. Working in the hotel industry has helped me realize the importance of treating people with respect and meeting their everyday needs. So when I was approached by Lisa to found the charity, I jumped at the opportunity as this had been my dream to help the less fortunate in my community.
Okay. Okay. And Lisa, I wanted to commend you very, very early on into the show, both you and Kim, with what you're doing now with Irie Kids. Because I actually wasn't even aware that Irie Kids was a thing before doing this interview. And I mean, I had to do some research into the company and exactly what you do, and I think that it's absolutely fantastic. So I think we can now move into Irie Kids and exactly what is this charity, Irie Kids?
Well, Irie Kids is founded upon the thought that all children should be Irie. They should be in a state of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do whatever we can, providing education and free resources to children so that they can reach their highest potential. And that's basically what it's all about. It's all free. Whatever we do is offered free to children. There's never a charge. And none of our volunteers take a salary ever. So if you want to join us, you're welcome to join us, but you don't get paid. It's all volunteer.
Okay. Okay. I think that's the first disclaimer. I think that's one of the first things that needs to be said. But what are some of the programs that IRE Kids currently offers?
Well, right now we are offering quite a few programs. Some of them has not even launched as yet, but we have a program called a pet care program.
Okay.
Yeah, where we teach children how to take care of pets, how to meet their needs, how to be empathetic to pets. We teach them how to use resources around the house to make dog beds, dog houses, food bowls.
Okay.
At the end of the program, we do take them down to Sufre to help us where they get a more in-depth lesson on how to really take care of pets, because I guess we don't know everything. But the people that help us in Sufre, they play a very big part in helping us to teach the children how to really take care of their pets.
Yeah, and the children make crafts throughout the week. They make the bowls, dog bowls, out of calabash. They paint them, and they make homemade dog treats that they bring to the shelter, and they get to feed the dogs these dog treats that they've made themselves. So it's very hands-on, a lot of crafts. They make toys. They get to keep the toys if they have dogs or cats at home. And if they don't, they donate them to the shelter where they get to see animals actually interacting with the things that they've made.
Okay.
So again, it's kind of a reward kind of thing, and it teaches children empathy. And our goal is to, if we teach the children now how to interact with their pets and how to care for their pets, hopefully they'll be responsible pet owners in the future.
Definitely. I think that's very important, because I remember my mom showing me how to, of course, clean out the area for my dog when I was very young. And I mean, I didn't have that dog for very long. She ended up getting rid of the dog quite early because it actually bit me. So I was probably not a responsible pet owner at the time. But I think youth animal advocacy is actually very, very important for young kids. I mean, it teaches you some sort of responsibility as well. I mean, at that age, if you simply responsible for taking care of your dog, I mean, bathing it, etc., it teaches you how to, you know, care for somebody, probably apart from just yourself. So I think those healthy feeding practices, the grooming techniques, and of course the training classes for these young kids within the Youth Animal Advocacy Program is actually very, very interesting.
The kids love it too. We get a very positive response, and honestly, the sessions fill up very quickly because we do them during school vacations and summer vacation. So that's when we offer the programs.
Yeah, that was actually my next question, because I saw some pictures of the kids on IREKidsInc.com, and I realized all of them were out of school uniforms. So I figured they had to be doing this either during the summer months or probably during the Easter or whatever it was.
Yeah. Okay. That particular program, yeah, we run it during school vacation time.
Okay. So this is, I think, the first one that we could take a look at, which is actually the youth animal advocacy. So for the upcoming summer period, do you have an application or something like that for parents who actually are interested to get into the program?
What we do is we rely more on schools. So the schools usually contact us, and it's open to children ages 5 to 11. So once we get up to 30 students, that's one session, and we run that for about a week. And then we can start another session of another 30 children for a separate week. And any school can give us a call. It's free, and we just prioritize by first come, first serve.
Okay.
So whichever school contacts us, they're the next one on the list to receive the program.
So only within schools. And is it something that is done island-wide, or considering it's, you know, specific sometimes down to Sufra, is it something you only do within the South, or is it within the
entire? It's island-wide.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been to the Boys Training Center with it. Well, so it's not just schools. We can do, we need a facility. That's the only priority that we have, is that we do need a facility to do it in. So if you're an individual citizen, you have a group of kids that, up to 30 children that you'd like us to work with, that's fine, but we need a place to do the crafts
Yes. Okay.
and be able to to bake the treats and have a home base.
Okay, understood. So that is youth animal advocacy. The next one that I actually see is First Period Preparedness Program, or Tea Party for Teens.
That's a favorite one. That one has been catching on very quickly. We started it last year. It is a tea party for teens. Students participate in a brief question and answer with our certified instructor. And during the course of asking questions, we're also throwing them a tea party celebration so that it's not such a scary thing to talk about. We try and make it light. We have cookies and cakes and some lemonade for the girls. So it's a celebration of womanhood. And they get to ask questions. We do a brief presentation about your period. And then at the end of the session, we give out kits to each of the participants, which contain pads, tampons, a little information card.
Okay.
A pair of underwear, just things in case they have an accident and get their period at school. Mm-hmm. They don't have to miss class. What it is it's giving period equity to all of the students instead of just the ones that can afford.
Okay.
You know, we want everyone to feel equal and everyone not to be afraid. This is something normal. We want to normalize menstruation. And it's been very well received in the schools. And honestly, we have a waiting list for that program.
Okay, so which schools have you had this specific program at within St. Lucia?
Okay, we have had John Odlum Secondary School, the Cicerone Secondary School, the Bocage Secondary School, the Corinth Secondary School, the Sarah Simon Secondary School, and the last school we were at was the Castries Comprehensive School.
Okay. So you're definitely making some rounds, and I'm guessing this year you would probably look to tackle a few new schools around the island.
Yes, our next school we have already contacted is the Patricia D. Secondary School.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think this is a lot. I think we lost them for a second. All right, guys, let's go for a quick commercial break. I'm going to get back inside. More on Irie Kids Inc. with Lisa and Kim.
Finally, a card for everyday living. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card. Everything gets paid with my card. My utility bills, grocery shopping, that cute dress I saw online, my favorite entertainment and Netflix subscriptions. I collect points each time I use my credit card to redeem anytime. Yes. Imagine a credit card rewarding my lifestyle. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card for everyday people, everyday moments.
I never truly understood the meaning of owning a home until I owned one myself. A home. It's my space. Sitting in my own living room. Walls in my favorite color. Having tea on my couch. My soul knows that this is home. And every time I walk through the hallways, I am overcome with a feeling of achievement and joy. A peace of mind, knowing that I made the right choice.
Home Sweet Home by Bank of St. Lucia. Start your home journey with us.
Thanks for staying with us. This is Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Today I'm joined with Lisa and Kim from Irie Kids Inc., talking about some of the programs that they currently have going on within St. Lucia. We spoke earlier about the Youth Animal Advocacy Program, which is free for registration. Of course, the ages 5 all the way to 11. You're looking to get about 30 participants this year. I mean, we're talking about healthy feeding, grooming techniques, a little bit of veterinary training, some medical care, and of course, a visit to a local animal shelter. So this is very interesting for young kids. Get some sort of appreciation towards animals. We also spoke about the First Period Preparedness Program and, of course, the Tea Party for Teens going on now for students from Form 1, I think all the way to...
Just Form
1. It's a celebration of womanhood, of course. A little bit of a tea party, a little enjoyment there as well. Sandwiches, cakes and tea for students. A little Q&A with a certified instructor and a distribution of a period kit to each student. Very, very interesting. You've been to about 5 schools locally and looking to do a bit more with that. That's where we lost you last time when the connection was lost. And I think we need to speak about the last program that you guys are currently offering, and that is tutoring. So I don't know who wants to take this one. Is it Lisa or Kim? But let's talk about that tutoring for a little bit.
Well, what happened was we found that some students were being left behind in classes in the elementary schools. So what we did was we have a certified teacher. She had volunteered at the schools with the Peace Corps. And now she is one of our board members, Colleen Edwards. And she volunteers her time and she helps students that are falling a little bit behind, whether it be for whatever reason. She will sit with them. She does once a week lessons and at no charge. And she's been doing this for about 2.5 years now with us. And it's really helped a lot of kids. She's been a great resource for them. And she's actually found some problems that the kids had that no one had detected. Like we have a little boy who actually needed glasses.
Okay.
And because of her intervention and finding out that the reason he wasn't reading at his grade level was actually because he couldn't see the paper properly. He couldn't read the letters. So we took him to get his eyes examined and got him some glasses, and he's doing much, much better now. So it's kind of an intervention type of thing. It's a supplement, but it is free, and we do it for, you know, certain students that meet a criteria, because there aren't that many volunteers right now that have the educational background like Colleen does. Okay. So if there are any retired teachers out there that would like to volunteer and join with us, that would be fantastic, because then we could add more students onto this particular initiative. But that's not our last initiative, but it is the last one featured on our website.
Oh, yes. That was actually the last one I actually saw on the website. And I think it's sometimes very important to pay attention to some of the problems that young students have, because it was actually brought to my attention some time ago that I think it's 20% of male students suffer from colorblindness. I wasn't even aware of that. And it was indicated, because I'm a teacher myself, and they told us to stop using, colored markers and colored chalk on the boards, but try to use probably a black marker and white chalk instead, because actually some people are not able to see. And sometimes they sit in the class for so long and you would never know that they're not seeing the same color as the other students within the class. So I think having someone who is able to detect some of these problems is very, very important. And I must commend you on that front once.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah, we hate to see any child slip through the cracks. So, you know, if we can help, that's what we would like to do. And again, we need more volunteers, though. We would really like to see some teachers step up, and even half an hour a week would be helpful.
For sure. Of course, when you go to irikidsinc.com, my bad, you could see a few ways you could support people. That's very important. Of course, the Amazon wish list, you could check that out. And of course, joining as a volunteer, because they actually do need specialists to continue. And of course, volunteers generally to help with the programs that they are currently offering. Now, I could only see 3 of them, and you're telling me that there are more. So I actually want to hear a little bit more about those, which you actually don't have on the website.
Well, I can talk about one of the upcoming programs, which is going to be our Sea to Supper program. And what we're doing right now is we've been reaching out to different people to get them involved, and we've had a good response. So Sea to Supper program will be offered to boys and girls, and it's a program that will teach children to fish, and they'll receive their very own fishing pole, and we'll take them out fishing, and they're going to learn how to catch fish and prepare a meal with a local chef.
Okay.
So you... this way it's a sustainable resource for these kids. You know, you might be hungry one day, but you know something, you've got a fishing pole and you know how to catch a fish and you know how to prepare a meal. So this is something that's a life skill that we'd like to teach children. And we've had a lot of local businesses willing to help. And, you know, we're looking for donations still to help with the purchasing of fishing poles, nets, and lures. But this, I think, is going to be a really good program. And as I said, it's for boys and girls.
I definitely would love to learn how to fish because I actually don't know how to fish. So
but we'll bring you on board. Our first session will invite you.
Thank you so much. I think these kids would actually really enjoy that because that's something I wish I learned how to do when I was probably very young. I have another question for you. I think there is a lot, going on with Irie Kids. And I can't imagine how difficult that may have been when you initially started up that company. So what are some of the challenges that you guys face when starting up Irie Kids?
I think our biggest challenge, we've been around since 2016. And through COVID, we've run the first peanut butter food pantry. That started in 2019. We gave out COVID care kits, 500 of them, to the different communities throughout the island. Oximeters we donated to the Ministry of Health, over 1,500 face masks. And we've been around, like I said, since 2016. Our biggest challenge is getting the word out, who we are, because a lot of times I hear that we're a U.S. charity. We started off registered as a U.S. charity, but we are a licensed St. Lucian nonprofit as well. So, and we only operate in St. Lucia. We don't operate in the U.S. All the funding goes straight to St. Lucia. That's our passion. This is where our heart is. And it's the children of St. Lucia that we work with. So that's the biggest mistake is people thinking, oh, they're a U.S. charity that came in. No, we're a St. Lucian charity.
And actually, that was one of the questions I had because, I'm hearing Kim and I'm hearing you, Lisa, and I'm like, but did this thing start off here in St. Lucia? Or did it start off in the U.S.? That was actually a question that I had. I didn't want to say be the devil's advocate, but what are some of the challenges you think you may face in the coming years? Because, with the plans to obviously expand, I'm thinking that obviously probably getting volunteers would be one of these possible challenges. But what else do you think could be a challenge that you may face in the coming years?
I think just getting the word out of who we are, what we're about, getting local volunteers. But Kim is St. Lucian. She's not from the U.S. Maybe she took on my accent a little bit. I don't know. But no, she's born and raised in St. Lucia. So we need more St. Lucian people to get involved. This is a St. Lucian charity. That's what it's about. And that's our challenge is we challenge people to come on board, help us, come fishing with us. Like you said, you'd like to go fishing. We have local chefs that want to get involved. That's perfect. That to me just fills my heart because it gives us the energy to go on and to keep doing what we're doing because without the local support, we can't continue.
Okay. I actually saw one more thing on the website I actually didn't ask about, and that was scholarships. I saw some posting about scholarships that Irie Kids was actually offering. Is there anything like that going on for this current academic school year, probably even for the academic school year coming up in September?
Presently, our scholarship fund is down to almost nothing. So once we get infused again, what we have is donations that come in specifically for that. And when we get donations for scholarships, what we do is we want to interview the parent, but we also want to interview the child. Because a lot of times we have parents saying, oh, my son wants to go to Sir Charles and, he really wants to become a plumber or an electrician. And then you talk to the child and that's not their goal. So we need to match up what the parent wants with what the child wants so that the funds are most successful because that we want that child to be successful. We don't want to put funding towards a program that a child's actually not interested in and that he's not invested in himself. So we do have a little bit of a criteria that you have to fit to qualify for these scholarships, but we usually get about two a year. There's not a lot, but two a year is pretty good, and we see them straight through to graduation. It's not just a one-time deal. Once you get a scholarship, we follow you through to make sure that you get that degree.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Of course, Irie Kids actually has quite the team. If I'm not mistaken, somewhere around 8 to 10 people. Would you like to introduce some of those team members and probably what they do within the organization?
Well, the board right now, we're going through a little bit of a change, but we have myself and then we have Kim as executive director. We have Sarah Giles, who is a fundraising board member. She's from the UK, but she lives here in St. Lucia as well. She has a home here.
Okay.
We have Candice Brabant, and she's St. Lucian, but she's currently living in the US, but she's very invested in St. Lucia. Her family still lives here. She's been a tremendous asset as well. So, you know, we're trying to get, what we're doing is turning over our board members. We've got the original four. And what we're trying to do now is get more St. Lucians involved. So if there's somebody in the community that would like to be on our board, we are taking applications.
Okay, thank you so much for that. But where can we, if we're trying to contact you, I mean, if someone is actually interested to be a volunteer, how do they contact IRE Kids? Is there a link on the website that we can use to get into contact with you? Do we send
Yes, there is a link on the website for volunteering.
Okay.
So if you want more information, there is a link that you follow, or you can just write to Lisa Jarvis at irekidsinc.com and send me an email. And also our phone number is on our Facebook website.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Lisa, I just want to say thank you so much for channeling all that information here with us today on RCI. Actually very excited for what is going to be coming up in the summer for IRE Kids and these school programs. Of course, what's coming in the new academic year, September as well. And I just honestly wish you guys the best. Of course, getting information out there is always a challenge. I can understand that. But I'm so glad that you could use our medium here on Youth Unplugged and of course here on RCI to try to get that message out. Okay,
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, the sustainable way of doing things is always the best way to go about doing it. I mean, we're trying to stay in line with our sustainable development goals. We want education for children. We want people to be able to eat sustainably, etc. And I'm thinking that IRE Kids is really aligning themselves with those goals. And that's just big. That's huge on its own. So I'm thinking that eventually the message will get out there. And people will get as involved as possible with the corporation. So once again, I want to say thank you guys for stopping in today at Radio Caribbean International. I mean, if there's anything that I missed, I think you could, this is probably the time for you to just could be wrapping up now for you to say that. I don't think I did. I mean, social, we could get some social media as well. What, Instagram, Facebook, anything like that?
That would be great. Please follow us on rekidsinc.com and rekidsinc on Instagram. You'll get all the information about our programs, when you can sign up, and all the latest news. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That would be fantastic.
Now
the more people following us, the more the word gets out.
We're definitely going to be following you on both of these platforms. So once again, thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you once again, Kim, as well. And thank you for choosing us. This has been, guys, another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Don't forget to check out irekidsinc.com and, of course, both of the social media pages at irekidsinc. My name is Khaled Fidal. I will see you guys again next week.